Dr. Murray's discussing whether a Balchov who, where there was a mashkam, and there was a shibud on property, and in the end, the person doesn't pay up the debt. One, does the malve own that? What's meshubit? Does he own it from the time that he doesn't pay up the debt, or he owns it retroactively from the time the debt was made? A buyer holds it works retroactively, and Rava holds it works only from the time the debt wasn't paid. Now Gemara is going to, so Gemara try to bring a raya from the case where, what's it called? Reuven sold the field to Shimon, and he guaranteed the field that if somebody comes and collects that field because of debts that Reuven had, so Reuven would reimburse Shimon for the field. And Shimon never paid for the field, but he put the money on a loan. He owed the money to Reuven, and Reuven died. And then Levi came and said that Reuven owed him money, and he's taking the field in lieu of the debt. And Shimon paid off Levi with the money that the Chori should have given the Yishalmim to pay for the field. And now he claims that he doesn't owe for the field anymore, because Lamaisha, he paid Levi for the field. So Gemara says that the Yishalmim can say, right, our father left us only money. In other words, what's it called? We really weren't required to pay Levi any money, because Levi could only collect from what's it called, from real estate. We didn't have any real estate, so we didn't have to pay our father's debt. Money is not meshubid for the debt, only real estate is. And we didn't make the loan, so we don't have to pay it our, what's it called, with our shibud goof. Right? We never, what's it called, were required to pay as debtors. We're not the debtors, our father was. His property becomes obligated, but not, we don't become obligated. So we didn't have to pay off this debt. And therefore, when you paid it off, you didn't do us any favors. You still owe us money for the field. That's what the Yisomen can say. So Rava said, if Shimon is smart, what he'll do is the following. He'll pay them for the field with land. Now they'll have land. And now he can go and collect the land to pay back what the father owed him. If the field, on the guarantee on the field. Now they have land. So Gemara says, what's it called, the Chora, if Rava would not hold that the, that which is what's it called, a lien to the loan, is retroactive, then why in the world can Shimon collect that land? It's as if the Yisomim went and bought some land after the father died. That land for sure is not meshubit. It's only land that the father owned to begin with. That means that when Shimon didn't pay back his loan, then he collected that land in the place. When does that land become the in the reshus of the one who owned the debt retroactively? So as if the father owned that land and the children inherited from the father. Therefore, Shimon can go and collect that land. But if it wouldn't be considered retroactive, then the children got land after the father died. That land is not obligated for the father's debts. And therefore, what's it called, Shimon couldn't collect from that land. But the fact that Rava said that he could, it seems that Rava says that the ownership goes retroactive, not from now on. So it's a steering Rava. So what it says, now's the answer. Shani Hossam, in the middle of Laman Aleph Laman Aleph. Shani Hossam, the Omar Lahu, over here it's different. There's a different reason why Shimon can collect the, what's it called, the land that he pays back. Why Rava said, let him pay back land, And then he'll be able to collect it. Not because the land is considered to have been owned by the father. It's not the reason. You can say, because Shimon can say the following. Just like I am, obligated to your father. I was obligated to pay for the field. I had a debt to your father. I'm also obligated to the balchov of your father. In other words, if Reuven owes Shimon money, and Shimon owes Levi money, then Reuven owes Levi the money. It skips the middle thing. Right? That's called Shibud Reb Nosson. Mid Reb Nosson. The Tanya Reb Nosson Omer Menayin Lenosha B'Chaver Omona. How do we know that if Reuven owes Shimon $100, the Chaveru B'Chaveru, and Shimon owes Levi $100, Shemotzim Nizev Nos Nizev, that we can take the money from Reuven and give it to Levi. Cut out the middleman. Right? If Reuven owes Shimon and Shimon owes Levi, it's as if Reuven owes Levi. Talmud Lomar, the Noson Lasher Asham Lo. You give it to the one that you are obligated to. Right? But not the one that you borrowed from. It's not that the one you're obligated to is not necessarily the same person that you borrowed the money from. Because the obligation can go beyond that. There's a machlokas achronim, how that works. Is it that the loan transfers from Shimon to Levi? In other words, now Reuven is not chayiv anymore to Shimon, since Shimon's chayiv to Levi. Reuven is chayiv to Levi. The loan mamish transfers. Or no. Whatever was meshubit to what you called to Shimon now becomes meshubit to Levi. The shibud changes. The lien changes hands. But not as if the debt changes hands. The nafkamin is a lot of halachas where the halachas are between the debtor and the person who made the debt. Halachas like, if I deny and I swear falsely, I'm chayiv to pay back Karen and a chomesh, right? Who do I pay the chomesh to? Do I pay the chomesh? Reuven swears falsely, doesn't know Shimon. So now he's not obligated to Levi either, because Shimon owes Levi. So is it considered as if Levi now is the owner of the debt? And if he denied to Levi, he has to pay a chomesh? Or no? He has to deny to Shimon. But the Levi is not part of the debt. Levi is just, since I was lien to Shimon, the lien goes over to Levi. But not that the debt transfers to Levi. That's the machlokas tiksos achoshen and the marsho. Whether the debt is transferred by Shibud Reb Nosson or just the lien is transferred. In any case, but that's Shibud Reb Nosson. It only works by land. It doesn't work by what's it called, by metalkalin. It would seem that would be the fact that, like the Marsha, that it's only the lien that goes over. Because if the debt would go over, it should work by anything, right? By any kind of loan. If it's just a lien, there's not a lien. There's no lien on movable property, only on real estate. So if it only works by real estate, it would seem to imply that it's the lien that transfers, not the debt. So Sachoshin said, no. They only made this takana by real estate. But the debt taka transfers. They didn't make, or the Torah didn't say it by other debts. But the way it works is that the debt is transferred. It's just that the Torah didn't say it except by a debt that's lien to real estate. Rashi. Well, it's a dinder Rashi. We learn it from Pasuk. Nasa Masha Rashama. Shani Hosam Rashi. The Omer Lahu, Ki Hechi the Mishtabdan, the Labuchon, Mishtabdan, and Nomi the Balchov, the Labuchon, the Reb Nosson. I didn't just owe your father money for the field. Since your father now owed Levi money, I owed him that money. So when I paid off Levi, I was paying off your father's debt. So now you have to pay me back because it's if your father paid that debt. La'ola Mikan Lahabogov. The reason that Shimon can collect the field when he pays back the children with the field is not because it's if the field belonged to the father and he's collecting now his lien on the father. My domer Rav Nachman be alma, bal chov choser begovo shomayem. That which Rav Nachman said that he can now go and recollect from the Yisomim, mishum the omer lohem bal chov li Yisomim, mikoach miposhem ukvishem karpizu. Why did you collect this land from me? Right, from whose power? From your father's power. Because your father sold me a field, I never paid him. So you are assuming, right, your father's place in collecting from me the field, the value of the field with this other field. Because your father had a shibud on me to pay him for the field. Just like that field was obligated to pay your father's debt, it was also obligated to me. I was obligated to me. Because I, well, also, what's it called, your father loaned me money, but I, what's it called, also had a debt by your father that he would pay me back if Levi took the field. So it comes out that I owe him myself the money. Therefore, whatever he was owed, he owed me. Therefore, I was holding on to this field. So I can collect the field because whoever owes your father, and your father owed me, as if I owed me. Just like my property was lien to your father, bishvil chovo, because of the debt I had to him because I didn't pay for the field, they were also mishubad to me because your father owed me. I owed him, he owed me, so I owe me. I'm the guy in the middle. Right? If Reuven owes Shimon and Shimon owes Levi, so it's if Reuven owes Levi. So in this case, right, Enochanami, Reuven the father, owed Shimon, right, the guy in the middle. But what's it called? But Reuven also owed Levi. So the Mela, Shimon in the middle is if he owes himself. He's the guy in the middle. Because your father owed me to pay me back for what this field was taken away from me. The Mali Ani Mali Acher. What difference does it make if the middle man is a different person or the same person? And therefore, even if it wasn't lien to your father when he was alive, doesn't work retroactively. But because of Shibud of Nasan, as soon as your father owed that money to somebody else, right, and I owed to him, so I became, that money was owed to me. The middle, I can collect it. I can collect that field. Not because it goes back to your father, but because the whole debt was owed to me to begin with. It doesn't say you pay back the one who loaned you, but the one that you're responsible to. The one that the money belongs to. It seems to imply that the money doesn't always belong to the one who made the loan. It can be transferred. The Bavakam Amir Asham Zakarim. Asham over here doesn't mean the carbon Asham. It means the Asham means the Karim, the money that's owed. Okay, let's go on. So therefore, Rav Taka holds that you only collect from the time that the loan wasn't paid. That's when the object that was lien belongs to the Malveh. And if he sold it, or was makdish it, before that, it's not hektish and it's not sold. That's right. This case is special, because over here it works because it's shibud Rav Nosson, not because when Shimon gives back the field, it reverted back to the father as if he got it from the time he made the loan. Nothing to do with that. Okay. Tznan. Now we try to bring another raya. Nochri shehil v'shisrael al-chemtzo. Now our Mishnah. A goy loaned money to a Jew, right, and used the Jew's chometz as collateral. Okay? The Jew borrowed from a goy, and the And the Jew gave the goy collateral of chametz. So the goy now, if the Jew doesn't pay up, owns the chametz. Acharei Pesach mutar bano. If, in the end, the Jew doesn't pay up the debt, and the goy collects the chametz, right, then after Pesach, that chametz is mutar. Because it comes out, it was owned by a Jew, it was owned by a goy during Pesach. It would have to be, simply, that it works retroactively. When the Jew didn't pay up, the goy owned the chametz from before Pesach. Comes out that the goy owned this chametz during Pesach. But that only works out if you hold that it works retroactively. It won't work out if the goy only owes it from the time the Jew didn't pay up the debt after Pesach, then it belongs to the goy after Pesach. But it belonged to the Jew during Pesach. So yeah, Mr. Shlomo Lamafreya will go the Amtullah Hachim Mutabana. If you say that when the Jew doesn't end up paying, it belongs to the goy Lamafreya, so it ended up belonging to the goy from before Pesach, and it belonged to the goy over Pesach, that's why it's Mutar B'Hanoa after Pesach. It was a goy's chametz. And the Iomers Mikan Lahaba will go there, but if you say that the goy only owes the chametz from the time the Jew didn't pay up, which is after Pesach, then during Pesach it belonged to the Jew.
Doesn't have to be after Pesach, right?
What?
It could even be during Pesach.
Or during Pesach, yeah. It's easier this case. So, am I Mutar B'Hanoa, B'Shus of Yisrael Havikoi? During Pesach, it would belong to the Jew. Or it says, Hacha B'maya Skinon Kishihir Hinu Etzlo. It's talking where the Jew put the chametz in the house of the goy. And we'll see in one second that he also said Me'achshon. In the case, then everybody agrees that it belonged to the goy, what's it called? Since it was in the goy's rishus during Pesach, right? It's like, what's it called? The goy had rishus over. It wasn't in the rishus of the Jew. He wasn't over by the rabbi the motzi. See one second, why?
Why does the Jew have to put it there himself?
What? You know, but no, he left it in the goy's house. He never put it there. He left
it. He gave
it to the goy, the goy puts it there? Yeah, it was in the goy's house. When Pesach came in, it wasn't going to give us who gave it to the goy. In the mice, in the end, it was in the goy's house over Pesach. Rashi. It's not enough for Shehilva. Kosoka died the chashto, but Shalom Masru. Now the Gemara thinks that the Jew had the chametz in his house over Pesach. It just was leaned to the goy. Elishi shibdolo kishar lovi. Shim lo etting the chad yom ploni. Like all liens. If I don't pay you after Pesach, come and get your chametz. The chametz is lien to you, but it was in the Jew's house. So the Gemara says, therefore, if it doesn't work retroactively, the Jew is over by the Ramay Motzah. He had chametz that belonged to him during Pesach.
What's the Lashon Kisharino?
What?
What is the Lashon?
Harino means he left it by him. We put the chametz by him. Shirino and Shlobabesho, Shalnachri Nasno. Talking where he left the chametz in the goy's house. He didn't leave it in his house. The Sokadai Techashta, the time of Mishum Behavi Le Torah's Mashro. Balcho Kone Mashro. Here's a different story. It's not just a shibud. There's different levels. Something can be leaned to a person, but he didn't leave it as a mashro, because there's a lean. Sometimes a person can give the other person a mashkel, and basically what he tells him is, if I don't end up paying, this is the payment. It's not that you have a lien on the thing and you can collect it. This is the payment. And even though a mashkel, that balchov is called a mashkel, see one second, is only a mashkel that you took not in the time of the loan. In other words, if you took a mashkel when the guy didn't pay up on time, and then the malva said, you know, I'm afraid you're not going to pay me. So I want to take something that I could collect from in case you don't pay me, because you haven't paid me. So I have reason to think you're not going to pay me. I want to have something to hold on to. That kind of mashka, for sure the balchov is kona, see. It's as if it's his. From the time it's given. The other guy, right. Then the guy can, what's it called, can redeem it. He pays the loan. But if at the time you make a loan, the guy's thinking he's getting money back. He just takes a mashkel for extra security. That's not considered mamish, like he's making payment with the mashkin. Then you're not kona completely. There, at least by chametz, the Tosha says, that much it should be considered like it belongs to the person with a chametz to be over the issue. But that's not really that you're kona. But it means by chof kona mashkin, it's his. It's not his. It's only his if the guy doesn't pay up. But it's his to be chayiv, Rashi says, in onsim, meaning that if something happens to that thing, right, I'm the one, the Baal Chov, the what's it called, is chayiv. The person who got the mashko is doesn't, what's it called, has to pay the other guy back. He ends up paying back the debt, and I lost the mashko, even if it owns. It's mine, Yagabe owns it. Right, it's like I'm a shomer on the thing. Or, according to Tosfos, he's like a shomer shachar. It's like he's being paid to watch it. Since he has something in his hand, that's worth something. So that's what it means, he's kone. It's not kone, he can't make marry a woman with it. But he's kone it, that it becomes his, l'gabei chiyuvim. Certain applications become his, because he's holding that mashke. Okay, now the Gemara is like this. Okay, so Irinu Etzlo, we think now that it's because it's a mashke. And Baal Chov is called a mashko, and that's why, what's it called, since it was in the goy's rishus, mamish, right, and the goy is kone it, the Jew is not over. Even if he collects it only mitana lahaba, but since it was in the goy's house, as a mashko, that takes the responsibility off the Jew. Versus limit to tanoi. Let's say the machlokas Abai and Rava is a machlokas tanoi. Yisrael shehilvel enochri alchemso lachra pesach enu over onyenu over. If a Jew loaned money to a goy and took the goy's chametz as collateral, then after Pesach he's not over. Okay? So the Jew loaned money to the goy, and the chametz was the goy's chametz, and the was collateral for the loan, and still the Jew's not over. Mishum Rameir Amru over. Rameir holds he is over. My lab, but how can it look in? Simple. What's the machlokes? The my sovereign machle, who go there? The one who holds that you're over holds that the Jew, when the goy doesn't pay the loan, collects the collateral, the machreya. Right? And therefore, during Pesach, it belonged to the Jew. And therefore, it's, what's it called? It's also after Pesach. My sovereign mikar lahaba, who go there? And the one who holds that what's it called, that you're not over, holds that you only collected mikan lahava, and therefore it was the goy's chametz during Pesach. Rashi, Yisrael shehilva esanochi alchem, so kodem haPesach. Before Pesach, the Jew lent money to the goy and used the goy's chametz as collateral. La'achra Pesach ain't over, mehenim. After Pesach, the chametz is mutter. My love, what happened was the goy didn't pay up after Pesach. So if the chametz becomes the Jews only after Pesach, it's mutter. If it becomes the Jews retroactively from before Pesach, then it should be usher. So that's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rameir. Tanakama holds it only works mikan lahaba, and Rameir says it works for Matreya. My love, b'shelo yivinu. It's not talking where he left the chametz in the house of the Jew. He left the chametz in the house of the goy. Uvahokim yiflugi. Tanakama sovereign mikan lahabu gove. Someone says, you can't say that. Ein b'seifa. Where it says, tispera. You can't explain the machlokas like that so simply. That the shayla is only who owned this chametz from Pesach when Pesach took place. The mafreya, the Jew owned it, or the goy owned it, and the Jew only owned it after Pesach when the goy didn't pay up. Name a sefer. Look at the sefer of that price. Avol nachri shehil v'Yisrael alchem. So lachra Pesach divrei hakol over. If a Jew goy lent money to a Jew, and the Jew gave collateral of his chametz, then everybody holds his over. Lachora, if the further ratio is dependent on if you collect retroactively or not, then the sefer should be just the opposite. Rameir should hold you not over, and the Tanakam will show you over. Right? Not everybody should hold you over. Right? The man domer hosom ain't over, hocha over. the man the Amr Hashem over Hachayinu over. Right? If the machlokish is when the Jew loaned the goy money and used the goy's chametz as collateral, and after Pesach the goy didn't pay up, so then if you hold that you collect retroactively, you're over. If you call, if you collect mikan lahaba, you're not over, because the Jew only collected after Pesach, not before. Then it will be the opposite case. The goy loaned the Jew money and used the Jew's chametz as collateral, and after Pesach the Jew didn't pay up. So now who owned that chametz during Pesach? If you hold l'mafreya, the goy owned it. If you hold mikan lahaba, the Jew owned it during Pesach. So the halacha should be just the opposite. The one who held by the goy that you are over, here we hold you're not over, and the one who held by the goy that you are over, here we hold you're not over, or vice versa. Right? And it doesn't say that. It says in the case where the goy loans the Jew money, and the Jew's chametz was collateral, everybody holds you're over. So the chari can't, that can't be the machlokas. Ema sefer divrei hakol over. If the ratio, the machlokas, is dependent on when you collect retroactively or only from the time the loan wasn't paid, then the machlokas should have turned around. The one who held in the ratio that you're not over would hold you are over, and vice versa. But the sefer couldn't be that everybody agrees where the goy lent the money and the Jew's chametz was collateral, that everybody holds you over. It won't work if that's the pshat and the machlokas and the ratio. L'mand omer le'el b'ratio over, amal l'mafreya l'gover. If you can explain the ratio, that the reason you're over is because the Jew is kona, the goy is collateral, the mafreya, haka havia the name, ain't over. Here it should have said, you're not over. Mishum de b'shat halva, kim le b'shus machri. Because here, if you collect l'mafreya, comes out that the goy owned it retroactively from before Pesach. Should be mutter. L'man d'omar hasham, and the other one should say it's hasham. But not everybody should say it's hasham. It says, and l'chachamai is kinin k'gon shiri, no, it's low. It's talking where he left the chametz in the house of the goy, or the goy left the chametz in the house of the Jew. In the case where it's the collateral for the Jew's loan, the Jew left the collateral in the goy's house. In the case where it's collateral for the goy's loan, the goy left the chametz in the Jew's house. And the ratio of the sefer kishirinu. It's talking not stam where there was a lien. That's the machlokas abayin and rava is only when there's stam a lien. Then, when the end, when you don't pay up, what's it called? Who owned that lien thing from before? That's the machlokas. But where you lamamish left it in the guy's house, there has a different cloud. This will give it Rabbi Yitzchak. They're arguing in the halacha of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Nayin lebalchov shekone mashkom. How do you know that when you give a mashkom, like we said, according to many Rishonim, this only applies shelo b'shas halva. If you give the mashkom after the time came and the guy didn't pay up. So the guy comes, he says, I'm afraid I'm never going to get my money. Give me something to hold on to. Then the mashkom, his mamish belongs, not 100%, because he could always redeem it. But it belongs to him, at least like a shoel, like a shomer sacher. He's a shomer on that mashkom, but he has kinyon, not just a shomer chino. Now she'en came, if you made the mashkom at the time of the loan, then you weren't counting on that as payment. That was only a surety. Then you're not kona. But over here by chametz, at least it's enough kinyan to be over by the rabbi Yemotzi, because the chametz anyway is not yours. The Torah made it yours. So when you have some kind of connection, you're over by the rabbi Yemotzi. That's how Tosfos looks. There's others, the Rambam holds that you're kona mashkon even b'shas halva. Because here it's talking we gave the mashkon as kind of a loan, not after the fact. In any case, so the question is Balchov kona mashkin or not? Shenemar ulechot tia tztaka. Says if you're holding a security for a loan, and it's a guy's mattress, so you have to give it back to him at night so he can sleep in it, and he can sit back the next morning. Now, even though you're jeopardizing, maybe he'll run away with it. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says you get tzedakah for giving it back. The Torah, if you weren't holding it, what kind of tzedakah do you get? If it's your thing, even somewhat, and you give it back to the guy, you're giving your thing back to him, that's tzedakah. But if you're giving his thing back to him, where's the tzedakah? That's not called tzedakah. And they know kol nemashkon tzedakah minayim. The kind of about folks you call nemashkon. So we see from the fact that the Torah said that when you give it back to him, it's considered tzedakah, that it was yours. Tanakama saw verse, and now what's the machlokes? The Tanakama holds, when is a balchol called a mashkon? Funny mila Yisrael Yisrael. That's a Jew to a Jew. The Torah said a special halacha that a balchol is called a mashkon. If a Jew gives another Jew collateral, the collateral is it belongs to the balchol. The Kareem Day of Chotzi et Stok. But if a goy, what's it called, gives a Jew collateral, then there's no special halacha for goy. And therefore the Jew isn't counted if it's from a goy. The mayor sovereign, Kalvachomer. Rebbeir holds no. If a Jew is called another Jew's chayfetz to be considered his, if it's given as collateral, right? It's easier to get something from a goy than from another Jew. A Jew's property is much more secure than a goy's property. So if the Torah said that if a Jew gives another Jew collateral, the second Jew owns it, kosher came, the Torah would hold that if a goy gave a Jew collateral, that the, what's it called, the Jew owns it. But the other way around, where a Jew gives a goy collateral, there everybody holds the goy isn't coming the collateral. Akra Pesach, give me a call over. Asambari, Nachar Yisrael, Lokoni. Surely the Torah didn't make a special halakha that if a goy gets collateral from a Jew, that he owns it. The question only is a Jew from a goy, does he own it or not? Since the Torah is speaking about Jews, maybe you're not Kona, or no, it's a Kavachomer. So therefore, in the Reisha, Reb Meir holds that when the goy loaned the Jew money, and he took the Jew's chametz as collateral, right? So the goy isn't Kona. That's the same. That Jew, the goy isn't Kona. Everybody holds that. So therefore, and you're only Kona, Mikana Lahaba. As a mashkin, he's not Kona. So who owned this chametz during Pesach? The Jew. Therefore, everybody holds your over. In the other case, where the Jew loaned the goy money, and he took the goy's chametz as collateral, there it's a machlokas. One holds that the collateral becomes the Jew's, and therefore you're over. That's your name. And the other one holds no. The collateral does not become the Jew's. Only from a Jew does it become the Jew's. But from a goy, not. And therefore it still belongs to the goy. And after Pesach, when he doesn't pay up the loan, it only belongs to Mikan Lahaba, not from Afreya. It comes out that everybody holds that rubber. What's Abaye going to do with this price? Comes out everybody holds Mikan Lahaba. The only question is, are you kone it because of the mashkon? Take away the mashkon, you're not kone it because when he doesn't pay up, retroactively, it belonged to him. Nobody holds that. So Tosha says, Abaye would have to learn this price is talking, where in the end he paid up. He did pay. So the mashkon never became his. What's it called? It couldn't become retroactive because he paid up the loan with money. So that's irrelevant. The question is only while Pesach was on, he was holding a surety, a security. Is that security considered his or not? But whether what was leaned became his l'mafrei or not is irrelevant because the lien never came about. Because what's it called? Because the guy paid up the loan. Till now we've been talking in a case where the guy didn't pay the loan. A buyer would learn this price is talking where he paid up the loan in the end. Okay, Rashi. Kone mashkom el reisha v'sefer kishir hinu. Ava below your hinu to kuli alma mikan lahabu gon. It's only where he left the thing in the guy's house. Then it has a different halacha of balchov kone mashkom. But if he didn't leave it in his house, then it's only a question of when you collect the lien, when is it considered collected? That's the machlokas Abaye and Rava, and that everybody holds it would only be from the time the loan wasn't paid. Like we said, that's a kasha Abaye, no kasha. It's talking where he paid it up in the end, so it makes no difference. Kone mashkom, but the question is, now that I'm holding that surety, that security during Pesach, is that considered mine or not? Or is it considered the goy, if it's in his house? Kol yemei halvoa hamashkin konilo. Even if in the end he pays up, but the whole time that the debt took place, right, was in effect, I'm holding a security. Is that the security considered mine or not? Whether I'm the goy or I'm the Jew. In men is chai bonsim. Rashi said, it belongs to me that if something happens to it, I'm going to be chai to pay for it, even if I wasn't responsible. Even if lightning struck it. Because mine. Just like a shoel. Shoel says, kinyone, shmir. And therefore, even if an onus happens, I'm chai to pay. She'enu olav lo kishomer chinam, lo kishomer sachar, shepur bonsim. He's not like a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar on that collateral. But he's mamish, it's his. Meaning, it's his, l'gabi onsi. Ela kula b'shuse b'shmimas omen. The whole thing is his to watch. He's kone it l'gabi chiyuve onsi. It also says, he's not chayiv for onsi, but he's chayiv like a shomer sacher. He's chayiv as much as a shomer sacher would be. L'chati et tzvaka b'hashoves ha'avot tzik. But the Torah says you have to give back the security that the person should be able to sleep with it. Or use it during the daytime, if it's a daytime thing. If it's mine, and I'm giving it back to you, then there's a tzedakah. I'm giving you something that I really own. For the whole time of the loan, it's konu to the malchot. The NATO cone, it's stuck by Shkoma Zumanai. Ashalo Shaka, where's it stuck? I gave you back your thing. Abba Yisrami Nachilo. Hilka Chloabrale. Everybody holds. And what's it called? The machlokas is whether when a Jew takes collateral from a goy, if he also owns it. One says, no, the Torah made that finish between Jews, not between Jews and goy. The other one, Rameyer, holds no. Kalvachomer. If you can own the property of a Jew that's given as collateral, surely the property of a goy becomes all yours. But the other way around, everybody agrees that a goy is never called hamash from a Jew. Hilka lo over alecho domer mar avalat roa shalachir. The maisha belongs to the goy. If the Jew isn't called the collateral, then it belongs to the goy, even though it's in the Jew's house.